What a crazy week it has been in the NFC North. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. Today, I'm by myself due to some scheduling conflicts. Mike is unable to join us. You guys didn't have me last week, and now it's just me. So, fingers crossed, next week we'll be able to have the both of us together in the podcast once again. But I will be doing a recap of this past week of the NFL in the NFC North, week 8, starting off with the Minnesota Vikings losing to the Los Angeles Chargers 37-10. Now, this game, based on what we're hearing, is that J.J. McCarthy will be returning this upcoming week against the Lions. So this was really the last test for Carson Wentz. And we saw him go down with an injury, and it wasn't looking good for especially the run game for the Vikings, as their highest rusher was Xavier Scott with 2 carries, 16 yards. So it wasn't really good for the Vikings, really overall, offense, defense, special teams. It wasn't looking good for this Vikings offense. Now, one question I was going to ask Mike, is this a turning point for the Vikings? Now that we have J.J. McCarthy coming back for the Minnesota Vikings, is this a turning point? Do we see a world where J.J. McCarthy turns this ship around? And realistically, I would say no. I think the Vikings are too far gone a little bit because they're currently sitting at 3-4. In a very competitive NFC North division. I don't see them making the playoffs at this point, just with how stacked the NFC is. And with J.J. McCarthy coming back, who knows how healthy he's going to be. And I don't think going forward with how strong the schedule is for the Vikings coming up, I don't see a world where they make a bounce back. On the flip side, the Chargers looking really good. Justin Herbert, 18 for 25, 227, 3 touchdowns and 1 interception. And then the run game, Ani Vidal, 23 carries, 117 yards, 1 touchdown. And we really saw a side of the Chargers that we've been slowly seeing all year. Wasn't the prettiest game on either side, realistically. But it was a interesting game, to say the least, where the Vikings didn't score in the first quarter or the fourth quarter. So that fourth quarter is where champions are made, is that fourth quarter. And the Vikings were unable to get it done as they fall to 3-4. The next game I'll be talking about is the Aaron Rodgers revenge game against the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers took it 35-25, and they moved to 5-1-1 on the season. Now, this game overall was really well played by both sides. You have, Jordan Love went for 360, 3 touchdowns. Tucker Kraft had 143 yards, 2 touchdowns, and we really didn't see Josh Jacobs, which is interesting. But nonetheless, Green Bay takes the win, 35-25, and Aaron Rodgers is, I believe that was his first time playing the Packers since he left the Packers. So it'd be interesting to see how Green Bay continues to win. They've been having a lot of close games lately. And I would say one key factor is something that we mention every week, is that creativity from Matt LaFleur. Will he continue to be creative when it suits him and when it suits the team? Or will he get too creative or too complacent? That is really the key question. The defense for the Packers still looking pretty good. Micah Parsons obviously coming away with a couple of key plays. But it'd be interesting to see how the Packers come out as they have the Carolina Panthers next week. So we'll have to see how that goes. The next game is the Chicago Bears falling to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it's interesting because we've been saying the Ravens are in no shape winning. I even had the Bears winning this week. But the Ravens come out with the win 30-16. The Bears really came out flat. Extremely flat. Caleb Williams, yes, he did have 285 yards, but he did throw that one interception. Did not get any touchdowns. DeAndre Swift, 11 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. But I will say that run game for the Bears has been hit or miss all season. I believe it's somewhat of a formation issue. I don't think it's all on DeAndre Swift. He's, I wouldn't say one of the better running backs, especially probably in our division. But I would say he's definitely middle of the pack in terms of the entire NFL. And he hasn't really shown much strength this year in the run game. I believe it's part of a formation issue. I think it's just Ben Johnson just trying to be a little too creative with the play calls. And a lot of those calls worked with the Lions, but they don't work with the Bears because it's a whole different type of play style over there. But Tyler Huntley on the side of the Ravens looks pretty decent. 17-22, 186 yards and one touchdown. Derrick Henry had 21 carries, 71 yards, and two touchdowns. And Zay Flowers, 7 receptions, 63 yards. Now, going forward, the Bears are currently 4-3. They have, I would say, a somewhat easy schedule coming up. And next week they have the Bengals, who still don't have Joe Burrow. So it'd be interesting to see how that turns out. But this game, I think it really is a testament on the side of the Ravens. For, I mean, they were, 1-2 at one point, and now they're 2-5. So definitely a bright spot for the Ravens. In terms of the Bears, you got to do better on offense. You can't come out of that game against a struggling Ravens team and only hang up 16 points. You can't do that. So I will say it's definitely an eye-opener for the Bears to say they've been looking decent. They were on a win streak, but all win streaks basically have to come to an end at one point. So the Bears fall into 4-3. They're still third in the division. So we'll see how the NFC continues to shape up with that. And brand new news announced today. The Bears signed CJ Gardner-Johnson to a 1-year, $1.17 million contract where the Bears defense has been struggling. It's been hurting. So getting a veteran like CJ Gardner-Johnson out there could help them, but also knowing the type of player that CJ Gardner-Johnson is, he's a hothead, it could come back to bite them. So we'll have to see how that shapes up for the rest of the season for them with getting CJ Gardner-Johnson. But the next thing that I want to talk about is the Detroit Lions re-sign Aiden Hutchinson to a 4-year, $180 million deal with an average of $45 million per year, $141 million guaranteed. Now, Micah Parsons still holds that higher number in terms of contract with 4-year, $186 million deal. But Parsons only got $136 million guarantee. That makes Aiden Hutchinson the highest paid defensive end in terms of guaranteed money in NFL history. And that puts Hutchinson signed through the year of 2030, because he did have that fifth year option that he signed at the beginning of this past offseason. So the Lions essentially get him for 5 years with that fifth year option and that 4-year extension on top of it. Now, I think this is huge, because Aiden Hutchinson, he has been a staple for the Lions defense for his entire career. Obviously, the first couple of years that he played, he had 52 tackles, 9.5 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and 3 interceptions during his rookie season. And then the following season, he had 51 tackles and 11.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and an interception, and getting Pro Bowl. That was his second season. His third season was 2024, where in 5 games, he had 7.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and a team-leading 45 pressures. And then he broke his leg against Dallas. And he's come back even stronger, in my opinion. He has a sack in the first 5 of the first 6 games or something like that. Something outrageous that he has right now. On pace for an actual franchise record for that. And it'd be interesting to see how that shapes up for other people when they have to potentially give contract extensions to Brian Branch, Sam Laporta, like those kind of guys. Kirby Joseph got his extension. Jameson Williams got his extension. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, they all got their extensions. So it'd be interesting to see, especially with the salary cap. The salary cap is going up every year. But it'd be interesting to see how, when it comes down to that time to actually re-sign people like Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, it'd be interesting to see how they shape those up. But heading on over to week 9 predictions, we got the first game that I'm going to predict is the Minnesota Vikings coming into Detroit. Sunday, 1 o'clock game against the Lions. Now, J.J. McCarthy's coming back. I still think the Lions are going to take it. The Lions are going to take it with a score of 38-21. I think even with seeing how injured the secondary was for the Lions against the Tampa Bay Bucs, they still held them to 9 points. Now, we will probably see Terrion Arnold back. We will probably see some of these guys start practicing, like Malcolm Rodriguez will be practicing. It'd be interesting to see how these guys come back. And I believe J.J. McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings just can't really hang with the Lions offense, where they are still, I believe, in terms of points per game, they are still the highest. But they're coming off a bye, rested up, getting those injuries out of the way. So I have the Lions, like I said, winning 38-21. The next game I'm going to predict is the Chicago Bears traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Now, this one's interesting because Cincinnati just lost to New York, the Jets, for the Jets' first win of the season. So they're going to be coming back for a bounce back game. On the other hand, you have Chicago, who just fell to Baltimore, who has been a rough team to win and they're going to be wanting a bounce back game. This game is in Cincinnati, so obviously the home field advantage to the Bengals, but I will have to say this one's tough. Chicago 24-21. Yeah, Chicago 24-21 against Cincinnati. Just because the Cincinnati defense has not been impressive at all over the really the last two seasons. So I'll put Chicago 24-21. And the final game that I'm going to be predicting is the Carolina Panthers traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Now, I think Mike knows where I'm going to go with this. I got Carolina. No, I'm kidding. I got Green Bay. I got Green Bay winning this game. I think Carolina's just in a honeymoon phase, I think, still. Just with Bryce Young finally being able to do something. But yeah, I have Green Bay taking this game. I'll say 35-28. Yeah, 35-28. I have Green Bay just sneaking this game away. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. A short one, just with me. And make sure to go follow our social media, Twitter, YouTube, and go follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, anywhere that you guys get your podcasts, we're there. Episodes every single Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. And yeah, we'll see you guys in the next one.